I'll tell you what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you what we're dealing with here in this world. I'm going to show it to you here. We have a bush here in our backyard. It's got these beautiful flowers on it. See this? See this? It had a lot more last month. I'm going to show you what else is here, right along with the flowers. Thorns. This bush is loaded with thorns. This is what the world has to offer. God has juxtaposed the flowers with this. The thorns with this. He has created a world that mixes beauty and good with evil. And the evil overwhelms, the evil is surrounding us. And it was no accident that the soldiers put a crown of thorns on the head of our Lord to mock him. Used the very creation of God, the evil part of the rose bush, to humiliate and to crush him and to cause him to bleed. That's what the world has to offer you. Thorns. It's God who has mixed the beauty in with it so that we don't kill ourselves. I'll never forget back in 2009 when my wife left me. I was so distraught that I would go for long walks and I would go into a blackberry patch in a park and I would wander in there and pick blackberries, but I always came out bloodied because the berries were surrounded by thorns. And this is God's way in this world. This is the current system that we're living in. The word system in the Greek is cosmos, and my Zender way of saying that would be the way things are. This is how it is. The system is how it is, and how it is right now is thorns and a little bit of beauty to keep you going every day. But if you notice the proportion, you know, on a rose bush of roses to thorns, it's way out of proportion. There are way, way more thorns than roses. And again, this is why God directed the soldiers to use thorns to humiliate our Lord, because the thorns of this life humiliate us. And any little bit of pleasure or beauty we come across is laden with the world's dose of pain. God has put it there. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that it's way out of proportion and that the world will prick you even while you reach for beauty and while you reach for goodness. And the worst evil is that even those closest to you, even your own, from whom you look for beauty or truth, they will prick you and they will cause you to bleed. They will bring pain into your life. And it's due to the system, because some people have fallen in love with the system. I speak of thorns, and I showed you the thorns, and I told you what the soldiers did to Jesus Christ at the behest of the Jews, the very people Jesus Christ came to save. How is that for evil, where the very people you came to save murder you? And I know the Romans put those thorns on his head as a mock crown. But they did it at the behest of his own brothers, Jesus' own brothers, the Jews. And again, we will be killed, not by the world, but we will be killed by our own brothers. Because they have, without even knowing it, become friends with the world. They become friends with the system. They become friends with how things are, and they are comfortable here, and they found a niche here, and they found acceptance here. And they found acceptance and love and a niche in a place and in a system, in a cosmos that crucified Jesus Christ. That's what the world has to offer. The world, this world, the one we're living in, the one we're walking in, this sky, this earth. You see that? See that sky? Can you see the sun up there? That same sun baked down on Jesus Christ and tortured him even more. That same sun that brings us blessing, it also tortures and kills. This ground down here, let me show you the ground. See that ground down here? This is the same earth that Jesus Christ was crucified upon. This ground did it. This earth did it. This system did it. And the people on this planet did it. And even though the Romans held the hammer, it was the Jews that hated Christ. And you will find that religion will kill. Religion will crucify. Religion will shun. And the self-righteousness of religion is really the most pathetic, disturbing part of it. And it stems from being accepted into a system, into a world where no persecution occurs. It always really, I'll say this, sickens me that Christians think that they're being persecuted. But how can you be, as long as you're a law-abiding citizen, as long as you're not out being militant about it, as long as you're just a peaceful Christian going to your Bible studies and trying to evangelize the world with a false evangel, what kind of persecution are you suffering? Unless you go to some foreign country and break the law, you won't suffer persecution. Why not? Because Christianity is the most popular religion in the world. It's the most popular cult. It has made friends with the world. It has been accepted by the world because its fabric is of the world. And it's the world that killed Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to forget, when I say world, I'm talking about the religious world. Because it's part and parcel of the world at large. Because it has joined forces with it. And it will do it in an obvious way when the beast, which is the religious system, when the harlot, which is the religious system, rides the wild beast, which is the world's system. Christianity has already joined the world with its nonprofit organizations. It gets government sanction. It pays no taxes. It's accepted by the government. In fact, Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. How is that for friendship with the world? Jesus Christ was killed by the most popular religion in his region, which was Judaism. Even the Romans accepted it. Yeah, they did. The Romans accepted it. They were at peace with Christianity, with Judaism, and Judaism was at peace with them. It's only when they became militant that they cracked down on them, but they coexisted. Paul never broke a law. Jesus Christ never broke a law. Jesus Christ said they hated me gratuitously, that is, without a cause. Same with Paul. Paul was hounded, he was persecuted, he was sent up the river by the world's most popular religion at the time, Judaism, that had become a pack of self-righteous hypocrites, murderous self-righteous hypocrites, that would not hesitate to murder the truth and to persecute and kill those who were teaching the truth. And the problem is nothing's changed. That's a big problem, isn't it? Yes. Now I'm gonna turn off this camera for a second. I'm gonna go get my scriptures, and I'm gonna bring the word of God to you while sitting on the same earth that crucified Christ. And I hate it. That's why I hate this earth. This earth is no, I'm no friends of this earth. I'm no friends. It's a temporary home. I'm passing through. It's not my home. It's the same earth that contains the blood of Jesus Christ, contains the blood of the prophets that were killed by popular religion. And popular religion has not changed one bit. And you know this. You know this. So let me get my scriptures and I'll show you some verses about how antagonistic the world is to us. The world hates us. And we in turn ought to hate the world. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine to hate the world. I recommend it. I can't wait to get out of this world. This world, I'm at enmity with it. I don't fit in here, and you try to live your life the best you can. You seek the scriptures, you seek the word of God to find truth, and God gives you truth, and then you find out that you're hated. You're hated for having the truth. And then those who claim to be proponents of the real truth, which is actually the lie, they end up persecuting you. It's ridiculous. But Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, 17, "In these things I am directing you, that you may be loving one another." Yes, we must be loving one another. "If the world is hating you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would be fond of its own. Now, seeing that you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world is hating you." Well, Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, are the disciples going to be any greater than their Lord? Look what they did to the Lord. Look what religion did to the Lord. Religion gets on a high horse and it considers itself to be the pinnacle of morality, to be the great deciders of morality without judging the case correctly. No, but the religion will make snap judgments. In fact, they accuse our Lord of having a demon. They accuse Paul of bringing Trophimus into the sanctuary, which was against the law. Paul did nothing against the law, but they accused him of doing it without knowing, because they don't check up on their facts. They don't care. They just find out that you're teaching some strange thing, and so you must be an evil person because you're not teaching what the mainstream teaches, and therefore you're worthy to be persecuted. You brought it on yourself, and therefore bogus charges are brought up against you. That happened with our Lord. Bogus charges. No two witnesses could agree. It was a farce trial. It was a show trial. The Pharisees decided they already were going to recommend him for death, and so they trumped up the charges. Any religion that has the world behind it, that has the world at its back, that has the world blowing tailwinds at it, they're going to feel protected, and it's going to breed the most ugly characteristic of humanity, which is self-righteousness. And this was the charge leveled against the priests of our Lord's day by our Lord, self-righteousness. There's the poor sinner down there beating his breast, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And there's the Pharisee, "Lord, I thank you that you have spared me from all these terrible sins. I thank you that I'm not like that guy over there." And Jesus says, only those who have need can he cure. You can only cure those who have a need. But if you think you don't have a need, well, you're not going to be cured. See, that's how that works. And again, it's because the wind is at the back. And if the wind's at the back of a religion, then the members of that religion will think themselves safe. They will think themselves, well, God must approve of us because, look, we've got the acceptance of the people. Yeah. Free Barabbas. Oh, yeah. Well, look, they're all for us. Free Barabbas. The people have spoken. The majority can't be wrong. So we'll free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Yeah, because the wind was at their back. The populace wanted Jesus Christ dead. They turned on him themselves. They accused him of being a drunk. They accused Jesus Christ of being a wine bibber. Why? Because he drank wine with his friends. They probably accused him of being a slut too, because he hung out with sluts. And they accused him of all kinds of things because of the people he hung out with. But those were the people who knew who they were, They weren't in the most popular religion. They had every headwind in the world against them, and so did Jesus. And so he found great fellowship with those people. They were not of the world either. They were not of the world either. They were a happy pack of fortunate sinners. And when I say fortunate, I mean that they found in Christ one who would not condemn them. Jesus Christ said, I come into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. Yeah, he's eventually going to save the world. That's a truth unknown to the religion that has the wind at its back, that has the approval of the world. Billy Graham, perfect example. Counselor to presidents. Mover and shaker in politics. A loved man. When he dies, the cover of Time magazine. Oh, what a great Christian. Let me tell you something about the cover of Time magazine. If you're ever on the cover of Time magazine, you have failed somewhere in your walk with Christ. Yeah. If ever you're even accepted into a mainstream Christian church, whether it's Catholic or Baptist or Church of Christ or Assemblies of God, something is wrong with your walk in Christ. And you should look around and say, what have I done wrong? Why are things going so swimmingly? I can wear a cross. I can carry my Bible. And everybody goes, oh, look at that. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, no persecution. You want persecution? Try this. Try teaching Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Try that on for size. I mean, like the actual Savior. No, I'm talking about like the actual Savior of the world. Try that. See how long that tailwind lasts. Try teaching that God is sovereign over everything, including human beings. That God is the only free will in the universe. There can't be multiple free wills. Try teaching that. See how long the wind stays behind your back. Try teaching that Jesus Christ died for 3 days. Try teaching that. Try teaching the death of Christ. See how long that lasts. See how much acceptance that will get you. How about this? Take your cross off. Quit organized religion. Study the scriptures for yourself and find truth. Then see how popular you are. Now we're talking persecution. Now we're talking persecution, because this is true persecution. It's not being persecuted by the world. The world accepts Christianity. It's tolerated. But one thing that's not tolerated is this teaching of Paul, not tolerated. That God has conciliated the world through himself and will reconcile all things to himself through the cross of Christ? Ha! You're dead. You're dead. You'll be persecuted not by the world, but by religious people. And there is the persecution that counts. There's where you're ringing up points, is being persecuted by religious people. The religious people can't understand this. They look at the Bible and they see, yeah, Jesus Christ was persecuted by the church. Paul was persecuted by the church. The prophets were persecuted by the church. That was a bygone era. We don't know how that happened. It's an anomaly. The reason they can't see how that could happen today is because, see, they are the church. If you are the church, you can't be persecuted by the church. If you are the religious people, you can't be persecuted by religious people. But the only suffering that counts is persecution by religious people. And that suffering is still offered today. It's still to be had. You can still be persecuted by religious people. How? Study this book, the Bible. Study it. Find out the truth. And then you, my friend, will be persecuted by religious people. Now you're scoring big. Now you're entering into the suffering of Paul, of the prophets, of Jesus Christ, and of the apostles. Now you've got it. Now you've got it. Now you'll be beaten by your friends. Now you'll be beaten by those who adjure you by the living God. Clean up your act. I adjure you by the living God. Turn to the truth. Repent of your sins. Yes. Oh, really? Yes. Well, we're all sinners. Yes, we are. We're all sinners. And it's the sinners that come to these truths. It's the sinners that Jesus Christ befriended. Yeah. The people who said, we're thankful we're not like these sinners, and who pointed their fingers at other people, those are the people who killed Jesus Christ, and who today are killing the emissaries of Jesus Christ. They're killing the ambassadors of God, the ones who are bringing the message of the conciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, these are the ones persecuting. The ones who do not believe that Jesus Christ conciliated the world to himself. Do not believe that Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world. Do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Do not believe that God controls everything. Do not believe that God created evil. No. In fact, they put responsibility for almost all the bad things that happen. No, for every bad thing that happens, at the feet of Satan. At the feet of Satan. Not at the feet of God. Satan is a tool God uses to work evil. Oh, they don't believe that God does evil either. So anyway, if you study this book, you'll find these truths I'm telling you. Then you will enter into true persecution, and the world will no longer love you. If you're a Christian, the world loves you. You're accepted. How are Christians being persecuted? Unless they're being stupid and taking Bibles into China or preaching Christ on the street or whatever, trying to smuggle Bibles. They think they're doing a great job. We're going to smuggle Bibles in the places where the law says don't smuggle Bibles. Paul says, be subject to the civil authorities. Romans 13:1. I'm talking about your average everyday Christian, you know. No persecution there. You're more popular than the Beatles. Those were the good old days. John Lennon said the Beatles are more popular than Christ. Those were the good old days. Yeah, great, good. Christ is some fringe group that is gathering around the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus and his small band of heretics and sinners who hear the truth. Yeah, those were the good old days. Now, Christianity is way more popular than the Beatles. Something has gone terribly wrong, and it's sucking people in like a vacuum cleaner. And it's blinding them to the truth, and it's put their minds in neutral, and that's the sign of a cult. The sign of a cult. Persecute people bringing you the truth and looking down your nose at them. That's a terrible thing, but that's the world. The world hates you. I just want to tell you that right now. The world hates you. Don't be insulted by that. Don't let it ruin your day. In fact, you should be happy about it. Because Jesus said it hated him first. If you were of the world would be fond of its own. Fond of you. If you're a Christian, the world is fond of you because the world is all about tolerance now. Tolerance. You see those little bumper stickers on people's cars with all the symbols of all the religion? Let's all live together in peace. Yeah, as long as you're a member of one of those religions, it doesn't matter which one, Islam, Christianity, Buddhist, New World, New Age, whatever the hell you're a member of, you'll be accepted because the world's thing is tolerance. But you teach this, and you'll be persecuted by every one of those religions, especially the Christian religion, because now you have moved into the outskirts of society, of polite society. Yeah, now you're doomed. Now you'll be persecuted by your very own friends. Jesus said he came to bring a sword, not peace, a sword. What would the sword do, Jesus? Oh, the sword is going to separate father from son, mother from son, brother from brother. That's what the truth of Christ does. It turns people into self-righteous hypocrites who love tradition more than truth. Ah, it's a bad situation, but that's the way of the world. Anyway, remember the word which I said to you, a slave is not greater than his Lord. There it is, verse 20. If me they persecute, you they will be persecuting also. If my word they keep, yours also will they be keeping. But they don't keep his word. They keep traditions. They teach traditions. They teach what has been handed down to them by traditions. But I chose you out of the world. That's what Jesus said. He chose you and me out of the world, including the most popular religion on the entire face of the planet, Christianity. The most popular, it is. More Christians in the world than anything. Because it's a club. It's a cult. But that world will be hating you. Remember, you have to remember when I'm reading this, the world that hated Christ. The world that hated Christ was the religious world. Nothing's changed, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm telling you. That's the bottom line. The world's going to hate you, and that all they have to offer you is thorns. I'm sitting now next to a bunch of thorns. Ow, ow, ow. That's how it is. There's one flower back there and 150 thorns. That's about the ratio. That's about the ratio. I'm supposed to love this place? 1 John 2:25. Be not loving the world, neither that which is in the world. If ever anyone is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for everything that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the ostentation of living is not of the Father. When people hear the desire of the flesh, they think of the classic sins like adultery, lust, drunkenness, gluttony, pride. Oh, pride. That's the worst sin of them all. Pride. Oh, my God. That is the worst sin. But I say to you that all those things are true. But the desire of the flesh, flesh desires to pilot its own destiny. In fact, I had a tract here called Where Are You Going to Spend Eternity? And it says that your eternal destiny depends on the decision that you will make today. Yes, your eternal destiny depends on a decision that you will make today. Talk about the desire of the flesh. That is the ultimate desire of the flesh. Forget wine, forget women, forget song. This is the mother of all harlots, the desire of the flesh, to say that it is God. And really, you're making yourself God if you think that your eternal destiny depends on you. But that's what Christianity, that's the number one creed of Christianity. Is it your salvation depends on Jesus? No. On the 6 hours on the cross? No. Your salvation depends on you. On you. Me? Wow. Woo! That's a lust of the flesh. That is the biggest lust of the flesh there is. This other stuff is small, it's chump change. This other stuff compared to that. The lust of the flesh. The desire of the eyes. The desire of the eyes. What do the eyes like to see? My eye likes to see beauty. But I'm telling you what, the Catholic religion, for one thing, has really gotten the lust of the eyes down pat. The eye lusts for beauty, so they put beauty. Stained glass windows, beautiful altar, beautiful furniture, beautiful arrangements. Look at Joel Osteen's church. So beautiful, so spacious. People walk in there and they just takes their breath away. You hear the siren out here? You hear this? This is the world we live in. You tell me you're happy here? There wasn't even a siren when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Every siren in town should have been going off. No ambulance, no nothing. They pried him off of the cross. Put there, and the priest made fun of him on the cross. Look at this loser. Alcoholic, slut, bar hopper, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he was accused of all these things. Falsely accused of all these things. It serves him right. He saved others, can't even save himself. Yeah, yanking him off the cross. No sirens then. No. This world now is even more evil than that world. More evil. Paul prophesied this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. Guess what? These are them. The thorns, the sirens. You're comfortable here? You got the wind at your back on this ground that has soaked up the blood of the Son of God? That has 150 thorns for every rose? The sirens go down the street every 10 minutes? Jeez, you got a problem. The desire of the eyes, the ostentation of living. Oh, the pageant, the pomp and the circumstance, the ostentation of thinking that you chose Christ. You chose Christ? No, my friend, it's not that way. Jesus Christ chose you. That's what he told the disciples. You didn't choose me, I chose you. But if you actually believe that, you'll be persecuted. You will be persecuted by the world, by the religion with the wind at its back. I'll tell you what persecution is. I'll tell you what persecution is. Persecution is being hated by the pious, by the robed, by those who adjure you by the living God. By those who, the most dangerous people in the world are those who think they have God on their side. Oh boy, they're insufferable. You got big problems. But there's hope for them. There's hope. You have to keep bringing the word of God. Keep bringing the scripture. live your life as best you. It sounds like I'm closing. Ah, Martin Zender's winding up. Not really. I'm going to go one more verse. Do the best you can. Pray to God every day to make you a better person, as I do. I have my failings, as everyone does. Maybe some people don't. Oh, great. Wow. If only I could attain. I pray to God every day to make me a better person. But I know that my salvation doesn't depend on my behavior. That's the beautiful thing. And that's what makes me the well-behaved person that I am today, actually. We've been through this. It's not the law that produces righteous people. It's not the law that produces even good citizens. The law turns people away from God. The law incites the flesh against the law, incites sin, causes people to sin worse after the law than before. If you don't know that, read Romans 7. But I think you, my listeners, know this. Don't be loving the world. This world's out to get you, okay? It's not your friend. It's not your friend. You shouldn't be its friend. And I'll close with Paul, the Apostle Paul, who says that, may it not be mine to boasting, except in the cross of Christ. But the members of the world's most popular religion, they have much to boast in. They don't, because they like to be pious and humble on the outside, but inside they chose Jesus. That's why they're going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell. That's why. That's why everybody else is going to hell. The only difference between those other poor Cretans who are going to hell for eternity and them is that they chose Jesus Christ. That's boasting. That you're going to heaven because you chose Christ, you made the wise decision. I don't care how you whitewash it, I don't care what kind of placid holy look you put on your face, you're a boaster underneath. And God sees to that. I guarantee you, you're not putting anything out on God. If you believe in free will, then you believe you saved yourself, and it's boasting. I don't care what kind of face you put on it. And then there's guys like me, kind of wild, got my hair going like this, you know, I have a glass of wine, I'll smoke a cigarette once in a while. I might be like ostentatious on the outside, but on the inside, I know who I am, and I know there was nothing in me that was able to choose Jesus Christ. There was no righteousness in me, no ability to work up some kind of faith to give back to Him, as if I had a gift to give to Him, as if I had something that I came up with first to give to Him, and that He found it acceptable. Well done, Martin Zender, you gave me a wonderful gift that I didn't know you had in you. Blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. Faith is a gift. Romans 12:3, Philippians 1:29. Paul says, may it not be mine to boasting except in the cross of our Lord. That's where salvation was won, not in human free will. It's not won there. It's not won by the human decision. It's won on the cross. Paul doesn't boast in the human. He doesn't boast in any of his accomplishments, and he doesn't kick himself over any of his detriments. He says, to me, to live is Christ. I don't examine myself, Paul says. I don't let anybody else examine me. To me, it's the cross. It's all about the cross. I point people to the cross. And how dare anyone point anybody away from the cross back to the self? How dare anybody point anybody away from the cross and put the responsibility for salvation or for good behavior on self? How dare anybody do that? That's blasphemy. And it's boasting, no matter how much you put the fancy face on it. The final word here. May it not be mine to be boasting except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world has been crucified to me. The world doesn't give a crap about me. Well, you know what? I can return that favor. I don't give a crap about the world.